This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Monday, it's the 25th of March, 2024. Coming up, that Apple versus Department of Justice antitrust case, and AppleViz gets bigger.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Hey, Sean Preece, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Stephen Scott. How are you?
Oh, you know me. I never complain.
Oh, well, we'll see if that's true in about 10 minutes, shall we? Okay.
Do you know, I've got to be honest, I'm kind of annoyed already today. I know it's only Monday, I know it's just getting the week underway, but I'm already annoyed.
With
the US government. There I said
it. Hang on. You had so many things to choose from then, you were quite stumped for a second. Okay, let's go with the US government.
I was thinking through my list of things I'm annoyed about. I thought, I'll start with this one. You might have heard last week that the Department of Justice have announced this complaint against Apple, which is claiming that they are running a monopoly over there at Apple. And, you know, it's been really interesting just listening to a lot of the feedback and also some of the tech journalists' take on this over the weekend, because you've probably heard a lot about it. You've read a lot about it. It's been in the mainstream media news as well. So it's not just been in the tech media that everyone's reporting on this. It's been a big, big story. And primarily because I think of the size of the company and I think people's concerns about what it will do to Apple, this kind of case. So I wanted to talk a little bit about it today because I think it kind of breaks down for me into a few key areas. And if you're happy, I think we'll dive.
It does. But it's
yes. Well, this is my question, I guess. Is it a serious argument? Because, look, I'm going to lay out my case here. I think this case is nonsense. This is absolute nonsense.
What a surprise. Okay.
And it's based on, this whole thing, I think, is based on outdated information. Okay? Now, I do think there are some parts of this we can have a serious discussion about. I've not entirely come down on the side of or one way or the other on some of the areas. But if you talk to me about, for example, iMessage, or you talk to me about the Apple Watch, one of the complaints being that, you know, the Apple Watch only works with Apple iPhones. Go figure! And then, you know, they're hindering the ability to create cross-platform wallets. You know, they're limiting third-party wallets because you can't access Tap to Pay. Well, sorry, but if you check in any of the media that is talking about iOS 18, that's coming. That's coming soon. Same with iMessage, the talk of, oh, well, you can't connect. Because it's the whole blue bubble versus green bubble nonsense again.
I have green bubbles. I don't like green bubbles.
Well, do you know what? Tough luck.
You've started doing voices. That's how annoyed he is, everyone.
And by the way, that's going to be fixed in iOS 18. So, as I'm saying, a lot of this is based on out-of-date information. Sean Preece. You stand up for the American government.
God bless the DOJ. That's what I say all the way. Okay.
Hang on, I'm just getting a note here. Hang on, just checking in. Yeah. He's listening.
Now I've got nervous. Well, actually, I'm a little bit upset because I kind of agree with you there. I thought you were going to go in a kind of different way. But no, I agree. I think there's some points here that are very, very questionable. And some that are incredibly valid. But overall, I'm in favour of anything like this. Any government department or any country, if we're talking about EU in the past, looking at big tech companies and just holding them to task on certain things, I'm all for, actually. And I think there's some really valid points here. You made a sort of go figure that the Apple Watch doesn't work with Android phones. Why? Why is that? Of course it doesn't. There's no reason it shouldn't. But likewise, there's no reason that Android watches shouldn't work with iPhones just as well. I am incredibly annoyed that I can't, frustrated that I can't use all the features of my iPhone with my Windows as well as you can with a Mac computer, by the way. And it's all very well saying, yeah, of course you can. It's a different company. But it's still making the end user experience worse. And that's the thing for me. It's all about the end user. The experience should be as easy and as beneficial as possible. All these lockdowns, all these reasons you can't use Apple or the Apple Watch or the Apple AirPods, for example, with your Android phone as good or get as many features, full functionality with an Android phone or whatever else, other system, is purely because it's designed that way. There's very rarely a technical reason they couldn't make that happen.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there are, and certainly I think Apple are leaning closer to doing more things. And actually, as a result of a lot of the action that's been taken, I mean, of course, we all know about the USB gate when it came to the EU.
Which was a good thing, right?
Was a good thing. It was.
Absolutely right. Just, you know, the reasons to keep Lightning around were quite frankly laughable.
But I think this has kind of empowered the US government when they've looked at what the EU achieved with this. Because it was a little bit unusual at the time. I mean, here's a foreign entity, really. I mean, Apple's an American company. And here's this body in Europe who are saying, you must change to accommodate us. And in turn, Apple obviously made the decision to just go with it and not make it something, unlike iOS 17.4, that brought in some specifics for the EU, because that was under legislation. Things around third-party stores, app stores, and all of this. You know, that was brought in specifically for the EU, grudgingly. I think it's being the fairest I can be on that one from Apple's point of view. They did not want to do this, but they did it.
Well, to be fair, they kind of did it, but made it sort of pointless.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, grudgingly, because they did it. I mean, like that third-party app store thing apparently will not work outside of the EU. So if you're outside of the EU and you come back to America, for example, from, I don't know, Germany or wherever, you would come back to the United States and those third-party app stores wouldn't work, and I don't think the apps within them would work. So that's interesting, right? So, you know, this is where there's that kind of... The Apple still has a hold here. They still have the ability to make changes dependent on what they want to achieve. But I think ultimately my question here starts with the word monopoly, because aside it being a fantastic board game... it is something which I feel...
I hate Monopoly.
I enjoy it, but I just hate... I wish it had an end. That's the thing I hate about Monopoly. It's like people start... It's
four
like
hours.
If someone says at 9 o'clock at night, let's play Monopoly, you're like, I don't have time for this. You know, I'm not going to rack up a good number of hotels in that time. So, you know, forget it. But I think I worry about that word, because we're talking here, and a lot of people are making comparisons to the Microsoft DOJ case back in the 90s. And they're saying, well, it's a similar kind of lawsuit. It's based on anti-competitive measures taken by those companies. You know, at the time, Microsoft in the 90s had a 95% share of the computing world, right? They had that share right there. And interestingly, because of that action that was taken against Microsoft to, you know, things like, you know, Internet Explorer being bundled into the operating system, which was a big issue for a lot of competing browsers, that was one area of one bone of contention among others. The action that was taken by the DOJ actually allowed Apple to thrive. They were able to get into markets that perhaps they wouldn't have been able to before, which was interesting, right? It's kind of almost, they almost created this potential, you know, this potential for Apple to succeed. Hmm. But looking at today's numbers, the iPhone in particular, and we focus in on the iPhone here because it is the product they're kind of highlighting more than the Mac, I guess. And, you know, the Apple Watch to some degree, they're talking about the whole ecosystem, but really they're focusing on the iPhone. It's about 55% of all Americans are using an iPhone. That's not the same kind of numbers we expected or had, I should say, back in the 1990s with Microsoft. It doesn't have the kind of hold you would imagine would be the same to be classified as a monopoly. Now, there are... argument goes into not so much the amount of people using it, but the amount of people who are stuck inside this ecosystem. Once you've bought your way in, it's very hard to get out again. So for example, and I have said this on the show before, you know, how many times have I said, God, it'd be so good if you did want to move to Android, you could just get the apps you already have and just literally open up your Google phone and hit transfer, you know, from Apple to iPhone, or sorry, Apple to Android, and then suddenly there you are. All your apps are there. Everything's moved across. You could easily make that seamless transition over to the other device. I think that's one area that, and like I said, there are some areas in this I do have sympathy with. That's one area I think they could improve on.
Yes.
Because to me, that seems like you are a little bit locked in, because not so much by choice, because you do have the choice to leave, but by design, you're forced to stay.
Well, by investment as well. If you've bought a lot of media and things like that, which is, you know, iTunes specific or Google Play specific, then you are locked in. But you can transfer. There are apps on both platforms now for transferring across and matching apps as much as it can, isn't there? So, I mean, that is... You can migrate.
You still have to buy those apps. I mean, it's fine if they're all free apps. If you only had free apps
that's
on your
right.
phone,
yeah.
transferring would be fine. And you're absolutely right. And that's another area which is interesting. This is, again, where I kind of have a bit of sympathy and then lose a bit of sympathy for this argument. Because you're right. I can make the move to Android. It is built in to the application that I'm able, you know, when you do the transfer from one device to another, you can move to a different device and it will allow you. It's not that it won't allow you to do it, but it will make it a little bit easier for you to do that. So this idea of being locked in, and also it kind of suggests that there's no other choice out there. You know, if I was Google right now, I'd be banging down the door of the DOJ and saying, excuse me, we exist. Hello. We've got phones as well. People do buy Android phones. It's not, and this idea that Android is less than, I can't believe I'm standing up for Android here, but you know, ultimately it's like Android isn't up to scratch with this. You know, they're not up to the standard. Now, again, this idea of monopoly and being locked into a system, you know, it works really well and it all works, you know, so well together and you can, you know, use one device with the other and you answer a FaceTime call on your Mac and transfer it to your HomePod or transfer it to your watch or your phone. Isn't that so cool? Why are we penalizing a company for making something that works and works really well? Is it Apple's fault that Microsoft and Google haven't innovated to that level yet? Is it Apple's fault?
Maybe this we'll find out if it is or not. Maybe it's not a case of you know, Google.
Because there's choice, right? I can buy a Windows.
Yeah.
I can buy a Windows computer. I could have an Android phone. It's not a case of I am stuck using this Apple iPhone. There is choice
yes,
out there.
But why is there not, we can't mix and match? Why is it that you can't use your Apple Watch? Let's say you decide to move away from the iPhone, but you still love the Apple Watch. Why can't you switch over and use that with your Android phone? What is the reason behind it?
Why
can't you? Because then...
But equally, why would I buy a Google Pixel Watch 2 and want to use it with an iPhone? What would be the point in that?
Why not? Because there's technically no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. So why isn't it open? It's because these companies are locking it
down. The other
side,
though? Yeah, but hang on. Well, exactly. These companies,
yes.
Not just Apple, right? So Google are locking down from their side as well.
Absolutely.
To some degree.
Yes.
But, you know, the same argument could be levied at Google and Microsoft.
Absolutely. Yes, it could. And
but
I think...
isn't that the whole point of innovation? Isn't that? Do we really want to start legislating against this? Do we want
yes.
the government coming in and saying, hey,
yes.
do you know what we should do? We should stop these companies. They should share every single thing. And they should all basically be this one big beige setup. I mean, look, I just don't want that. I want companies to be able to innovate on their own. There are many reasons why people choose Google phones. There are many reasons why people choose a Microsoft
Absolutely.
Computer versus an Apple computer.
Yes.
And many reasons why people choose iPhone. And the market share is not what I would consider to be big enough to be worried about. But they seem to be going after Apple. It seems like an easy get. If I'm honest, this is, to me, a massive, massively political move. We have a big election coming up this year.
Have we?
And if I'm honest with you, yeah, believe it or not. And here's the thing. I don't really know how Joe Biden benefits from this. I don't get how his... Because going after people...
Well,
you think about the market, or you think about the potential... I mean, without getting into the politics too much, you think about the demographics of people who might vote for Joe Biden. I think a lot of them might be iPhone users. Why would you go after those people?
Well,
I just don't get it.
There's a lot of assumptions here that this is political. A reason.
Of course it's political.
No. You have no idea.
Is.
This could just be the incredibly slow-moving...
If the government are involved, it's always political.
Okay.
It's all political.
All right. Well, okay, maybe, but that's all down to opinion. There's no fact behind that. You don't know that Biden said, right, pick them out, or anyone else for that matter.
I didn't say that.
No, I
don't think Joe Biden cares either way, to be perfectly honest. But
here we go. Wait. So
let's not go there.
I believe that Apple are being picked out because they are the leaders. People follow Apple, exactly. And if Apple can prove that they make such a profit because of their walled garden approach, lockdown approach. Now, of course, there's benefits to that when it comes to security and privacy and everything like that. And we all recognize that, absolutely. But I think the DOJ are actually starting with Apple because of that very reason, that whatever Apple does, everyone else follows. And I think you're absolutely right. Google, Microsoft, whoever it may be, have absolutely no legs to stand on either when it comes down to this sort of thing. But I think they are purposely setting Apple up as an example. And I don't think all the points that they raise have valid arguments at all. But some of them,
let's look at some of them.
Okay, go on.
iMessage, for example, one of the complaints is that iMessage is forcing customers to stay with Apple, and also it's making it harder for the Android people to connect with the iPhone people. And it's created a debate in our society, which I think is a ridiculous argument anyway, about the whole green bubble and blue bubble thing. You know, people who say things like, oh, I saw this on Twitter the other day, someone saying, oh, I left my last partner because, you know, he had an Android phone. And I'm thinking, you know, part of me thinks that must be ridiculous, but I can believe today's, let's just say younger people, are a little bit stupid in that regard.
Ages.
And they probably...
Do you know what? I'd like to believe that that isn't the case. I don't
believe...
Well,
I think it is because people do silly things.
Yes,
especially
there are
young
idiots
people
everywhere.
Do silly things.
I don't think anyone really cares.
It's not impossible.
About green or blue bubbles or whatever color it is. I think it's a case of, hey, it'd be so nice if I could iMessage you from my Windows desktop here.
Here's the thing. So in the DOJ complaint, they don't mention it by name, but they do talk about a company that was essentially forced out of trying to bridge the gap between Apple and Android here. Of course, they're talking about Beeper.
Yes.
They don't name them directly, but they are talking about that. This was the company, you might remember, who built the system that could essentially allow you on an Android phone to get access to iMessage and actually iMessage back and forward with someone. But Apple kept shutting it down. And this is part of the basis of the complaint. Oh, well, you see, Apple keeps shutting things like this down. Yeah, but there are reasons why. There were security reasons why. There were serious issues with Beeper that was making people nervous about this. And you don't want that. I don't want some guy in a basement coming up with a solution to this. I'd rather the companies worked together on it. And interestingly, in iOS 18, there will be implementation of RCS, this rich communication service, I think they call it. I think that's what that means. And it ultimately is the way of Android people being able to get, I don't know, blue bubbles. I don't know, whatever it is that they end up with at the end of result of it.
Look.
So Apple are working towards this. So again, out of date information.
Why are they working towards this? How long has iMessage been out? Do you think they maybe got wind of this was coming down the line? Of course they did. Do you think this would have happened otherwise if it wasn't pressure from things like the EU and the DOJ? I don't think so.
But do you know what it feels? Some of this complaint, especially around iMessage, feels a little bit like the Real Housewives of New York. You know, it honestly does, because the one particular area of the complaint was where Tim Cook said publicly to someone's mum, buy her an iPhone, because they were having issues with, you know, messaging, and the person was complaining about it and said, my mum can't, you know, communicate the same way with me as she can with someone with an iPhone. And Tim Cook said on stage, well, buy your mum an iPhone then. And, you know, this was part of the basis of the complaint. I mean, seriously? What, we're going to go to evictions next week? Next week on the island? Is that where we're at on this? It just seems ridiculous to me that we're in this stupid debate
hang on.
Green bubbles versus blue bubbles.
Well, let's move away from the green bubble, blue bubble, because I think no one really cares about that, surely. Okay, except on social media, maybe. But yes. Do you think that's a good response? Now, look, I'm not going to crucify Tim Cook over saying... You buy an iPhone then.
What, the CEO of Apple suggests buying an iPhone? Is that breaking news?
Because it's tongue-in-cheek. It's not...
Exactly, it was a joke.
Exactly, right? Okay, I totally
Made
agree
by the
with
CEO
you.
Of Apple. I mean, you know, if you were the CEO of Google and you said, hey, maybe you want to buy an Android phone, would anybody say, oh, that's shocking, how dare he? But why is it when Apple do it, it's a big crime? I don't get what's going on here. It feels like this complaint is against Apple, but it could be against all the tech companies.
I agree with you in that respect. It should be against other companies, and I hope that it will be. But I think the general concept behind it of these things need to be opened up if they're artificially locked down, I think is absolutely justified.
I want to mention digital wallets as well, because this is another thing. This is another area of the complaint. Again, I feel this is a little bit out of date because
I don't understand this. So, yeah, explain this to me.
Well, the argument is that Apple has implemented the NFC capability, the near-field communication capability, meaning that, you know, in this, the same way with an Apple, an Android phone and an Apple and Android phones,
yes,
you can use Tap to Pay, right? So you can, instead of using Apple Pay, and there are some legitimate concerns around Apple Pay, and I'll get to that, but with Tap to Pay, you can use any other wallet. So, for example, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, whatever it might be, right? You could use that digital wallet instead of Apple Pay. Now, Apple have said that in iOS 18, they will implement Tap to Pay into the system. Now, I think, like you're saying, this is all hardware locked down, right? It's all there. It just has to be enabled. And they're doing that in iOS 18. So again, this is a complaint which is kind of out of date, out of the gate, because it doesn't apply anymore. This is something that will be resolved. The only area of concern I did, and I didn't know this until I was reading the complaint, is that Apple make money per transaction from Apple Pay. So a bank has to pay Apple to use Apple Pay. I think it's like 0.15% of whatever the transaction is. And that amounts to a lot of money for Apple over a year. Google Pay and Samsung Pay, there's no fees. So that's interesting. I find that interesting that there's money made. Now, you could say, well, and I could make the argument, well, you know, just Apple are being quite rightly opportunistic here and making money off their service. But if the other ones aren't, and that's not available on that device, then I have to say I'm probably coming down more on the side of the complaint here, because I think they should be opened up. It should be opened up to more players. And that's what the complaint is saying. But that appears to be what will happen in iOS 18. So ultimately, I think a lot of this complaint feels a little bit out of date. If you'd brought this 2 years ago, I'd probably be far more sympathetic to your viewpoint. On the iMessage front, I think there is a discussion. I think there's a serious discussion around whether or not that should open up. I kind of partly feel it should. I think it should open up. I can't really understand a reason why the Android people and the iPhone people can't just get along on that front. I don't quite understand. I can't imagine there being a mass exodus of people
and Microsoft
to Android. Well, I'm talking about messaging directly between mobile devices. And let's be honest, the two players are Android and Apple, okay?
So yes,
between those two, I think I could see, I can't really understand a reason why one should be limited over the other. I know why Apple are doing it, because it's their nature to lock things down, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's something that's necessarily smart. So on that one, I might lean towards the DOJ.
Well done.
But overall, I've got to say this complaint, I feel is out of date. I feel it's a bit out of touch. It's a little bit Real Housewives of Los Angeles. And, you know, it's just nonsense. So, you know, a lot of it is nonsense to me. And I think it's picking Apple. I think it's going to hurt any kind of innovation going forward. I don't know how this will help, having government reaching in like this. I don't think it's a good idea. And I think if they were going after tech companies for this kind of action, they should have gone after all of them. So that's my take on it. You can tell me your thoughts.
Why?
Feedback at doubletaponair.com. I'm sure you'll have something to say, because it is an ongoing debate. But that's my take on it. Up next, Thomas Donville is here. He's going to be joining us to talk all about Apple Viz, the website, of course, for us blind folks that use Apple devices. He is working to make his website more
open it up. It should be available to other people.
I don't know if he has a DOJ case against him, but we'll find out next with Thomas.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap on Air, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
Okay, time now to talk about Apple Viz and the work that's going on over there to improve and enhance the website to more people. Interesting conversation. And with us to have that is Thomas Donville. He is one of the moderators over there at Apple Viz. Good to have you with us in person, Thomas Donville.
Well, thank you. Blah, yay.
I think that's the first time a guest has had his own applause by himself. That's very good.
This is the first time I think you've been on with us live, right? I think this is because every time we've featured you on the show, it's been in recording. I don't think we've actually had you in reality. It's like AI has come to life.
It's all different, right? There's no editing. This is just pure raw stuff.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, there's definitely no editing. Trust me on that. Listen, Thomas, first off, I want to say a huge thank you for your support to us over the years, because your demos, your work you do is incredible on the AppleVis site, but also just allowing us to broadcast that here. I just want to start off by saying thank you for that. I really mean that. That means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Oh, we appreciate it. And it just means a lot. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I love Double Tap. You and Sean do an amazing job. Keep up the good work and just do what you do each and every day.
I like that you say that now, because now whatever we say that follows it, we've always got that bit we can put at the end.
Yep.
Now so it doesn't matter if we have a huge argument and you hang up the call, we can say, ah, but you know, he still likes us. Hey, listen, I want to get your take on this whole Apple antitrust thing as well, because it's just been a really interesting week, I guess. You know, last week, the news coming out from the DOJ, as I was talking about, and this antitrust case. But we'll get to that a bit later. Let's kick off with AppleVis, because that's the story I wanted to really talk to you about. Big changes over there. And they are big changes, because AppleVis has been the place that I have spent most of my life on. When it came to discovering new things about Apple, or just, you know, wanting to know about a particular piece of software, or looking for an app, even just sometimes just wanting to find a new app to play with and hear blind people give their take on it. It was the first place I would always go to. And I remember when I started using Windows and a screen reader with Windows in 2017, I remember thinking, goodness, if only there was an AppleVis for Windows. And I know I'm not alone in that, because I know people probably say the same about Android and other things as well. Although there are more Android sites out there, which is good. But nothing, I don't think, quite like what you've created over at AppleVis. So why the change? Why the move towards Windows, Android, and smart tech, and assistive tech generally?
You know, AppleVis is going to be turning 14 this year, believe it or not. 14 years, which is totally unbelievable to think about. And as you say, in that time, it seems like we've grown, and more people and members in the community come to find AppleVis the more that the topics start to grow. So we start to get into kind of that blurring area where people would have, like, for example, let's just say we do talk about Windows, but it had to be Apple related, right? So we could talk about iTunes on, you know, unfortunately not so great, but nonetheless it's an Apple topic. But then people saying kind of like, I wish we could talk more about Windows, but we can't. Or Android, that's a big one. We always had people come on saying, hey, you know, if you were this on Android, it does this and this and that. So it got into that gray area. And we just found over time that people were just amazing when it comes to sharing the wealth of knowledge that people have and being able to help other people. And we started to observe this as a whole, as in, you know, we live in a society now where we have multiple gadgets. So we got, it's not just Apple anymore. So like myself, I'm on Windows. I have the Alexa lady. Hope I didn't activate her. I have the, you know, there's just so many gadgets around us that makes us more independent as we are. And it's not always about Apple. And I think it's time. I think it's time just to take some baby steps. And so we decided to just open up the forum, as in, these are the forms of the discussion you can talk about, which is Windows, it could be Android, it could be assistive technology and hardware, and it could be smart home hardware. And so we thought that would be the good first step, because forms is where the fragmentation starts to happen if it wasn't for us opening it up. So if you had questions about Windows, where do I go? You know, we have these email options, of course, we got social media, but it just seems so fragmented. It's like we wanted a one-stop shop where people have Apple, where they can talk, hey, I can talk about my Apple here, and then if I have some Windows questions, I can stay in the same site, and you get the same knowledgeable people that are already there, that are members and users of the community. So it's us trying to open up to the community's needs and see how it goes. So this is kind of a pilot test for the next 3-4 months or whatever, not just see how it goes. So for now, we're sticking to just forms.
That's really interesting. A pilot trial period almost. I'll come back to that. But I just want to say, I think this is really exciting because there's no denying, and as Stephen said, AppleViz has really built up its reputation, right? The moderation, absolutely fantastic. I think the forums are the most accessible, easy to use place I've ever gone to get information. Community is great. And, you know, you've lasted all these years and your reputation has been rock solid throughout. So I think opening it up is a fantastic idea because AppleViz has got that reputation and people are going to trust that you do the right thing, which brings me back to why a trial period here. Why are you nervous about this?
You know, it's, you know, the majority of the people seem to like what we're doing. However, we were just unsure about how some people would take it. Now, some people have already expressed negativism to it already. They say we're going to be losing our core mission of Apple. The fear is that it's going to be WindowsViz, AndroidViz, AppleViz. So what are we going to go? Are we going to go to BlindViz? No. It's just there's fear, and I understand those people's fear. And so we feel like if we just kind of gently push it out there, see how it is taken. Because we weren't sure how people were going to approach this because we weren't not sure if we would get a backlash, especially putting Android on AppleViz. What? You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, we talk about Macs. Oh, we're going to talk about Windows too. You know, we didn't know what kind of reception we would have gotten. So we just felt like this was just the perfect baby step. Sean, I think that's a great question, but you'll be surprised how there are a handful of people that are very worried about AppleViz losing its core mission. And I can assure you, we will always be AppleViz that we always have. We will always bring things that we've done for the past 14 years. Nothing will change. It's just we're just adding some forms just to be able to expand the communication because a majority of the people out there, like yourself, I'm sure, that use different devices, right?
Yeah, or want to. That's the other thing, right? Might want to move on to something else. And I've seen a bit of a debate. I've been seeing this on Mastodon recently. A lot of people who are trying out the Mac for the first time or maybe going back to the Mac after a while and saying, where's all the information or where can I get information about this? And then they go to AppleViz. Equally, people trying out Windows or thinking about moving to Windows who would like to know about the experiences there, want to know what that's like. There is another fear, though, isn't there? And that fear is that the perennial Android versus Apple debate, the Windows versus Mac debate kicks up inside the forums. How do you deal with that? Is it just moderation all day, all night?
You know, that's tough. I'm not going to... Mm. It is tough because...
It's going to happen, right?
Right? It's just... Sometimes it can get so toxic, and that's the one thing we don't want AppleViz to turn into, because some places just turn into a big old toxic waste dump, and people steer away from wanting to ask questions because they're fear of what's going to happen when they ask these controversial questions, per se. And so we try our very best to moderate it. If we feel like people are gone off the rails and off the topic, we will try to put a comment in that say, hey, please stay on topic. But if we find you hitting those rules over and over and over, that we will just start giving you suspension. And so that's why we do so well on the AppleViz, because it's not a whole lot to watch. So it's not a Reddit, for example, and there's just billions of different subreddits that you need those moderators. Well, we're not very big in terms of a team, so we have to keep it small. And so that's why we're only introducing a few things. So there are rules in place that people need to abide, and we always give them warnings and say, hey, check out this rule. There's no trolling and stuff like that. But in the most part, you go in with an open mind, and a lot of people do. So be respectful. Don't point out people and trying to slander them or make them feel small. It's just you need to go in with an open mind. If you're not going to go in with open mind, yeah, I can see why some things may irk you or rub you the wrong way. So it's one of those things that is typical in a community-based discussion. You know, it's going to happen.
In any discussion. I've seen it in every single platform, everywhere.
Right.
No matter what the topic, it's always there's always going to be disagreement. And sometimes that's not handled very in a mature way, or it can get, as you said, toxic. But again,
hang on. I still, you know, obviously, I am still traumatized after my own suspension.
I was just going to get to that, Stephen Scott. I was going to say, you know,
I'm still traumatized.
You got to do something to keep those trolls and closed-minded, narrow, hateful people out. So let's talk about Stephen Scott being banned.
Anybody that rhymes with Stephen Scott is now banned.
Mr. Bot. Can't think of any right now. Caught. Okay, you're all out. Okay, fine. That's how you're doing it. All right, fine. But how many people are, and by the way, as much as I say that, I think that was more my fault than anyone else's, just, you know.
Yes.
I think I hadn't used the account for so long, and I'd gone back in, and the first post I'd put up, it said, you're banned. And, you know, it gave me a few good days on air. Thank you for that, Tom.
Yes, it did.
But I just want to say, you talk about the moderation team. How many of them are there? How many people are there actually doing it?
Well, you know, there's just the editorial team members at this time. We don't feel like we need moderators, so we are moderators for a say. So there's seven of us. Yeah, seven of us on the team that will just kind of do various maintenance and try to moderate all the different subjects and comments and things that are going on.
That's, you do a great job for seven people, I've got to say, because you can never, it's such a fine line to walk. You're never going to make everyone happy. You're either going to be, you know, too strict or not strict enough or disagreeing with one side and another. It's a thankless job. But as I said, I think the moderation on AppleViz is really good. I got to say, though, I am slightly disappointed that's still a concern. The whole my whatever is better than your whatever, and it can get to that level. I mean, we have a joke, Stephen especially has a joke about, you know, Android versus iPhone, but it's always a bit tongue-in-cheek, and there's always that, you know, it's nothing serious. So is there, you still think there's that potential for it to get out of hand, even in AppleViz itself?
Oh, yeah. It's just the nature of the beast of humans. Humans' nature are... Right? It's just all walk of life that comes to that community. And you get some people that are just extremely touchy. If you just say one thing out of line, it's ridiculous. People will be complaining about your title is dumb or you misspelled something. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yes.
And they actually go up and post that. And it's just like, hey, how about we just focus on the topic, talk to the person that asking the question or whatever not, or asking for your thoughts. Don't bang on each. But it just happens, Sean. Just like you said, it doesn't matter what platform you're on. It happens. But, you know, it's going to happen on AppleViz. We try to get it onto it quickly as we can. As you say, you know, there's 24 hours of the day, and some of us are asleep when others aren't, and sometimes we're both asleep at the same time, and things just happen. But at some point, we will nab and try to control things if we can.
I think you are a beacon of hope in the internet world, because you know, when you look around social media, the world's largest collection of angry people, as I like to call it, and you know, you see what's going on there. It shows how moderation matters and why moderation matters. And you know, considering all of that, you do keep a very tidy house over at AppleViz. And you know, yes, there are controversial topics, but I don't think that's a bad thing either, right? I mean, that's the whole point of a forum, is to get a discussion going, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, I kind of laugh sometimes when I see some comments like, oh, I found a bug inside macOS. That's it. Cancel the whole thing. You know, it's like, right, okay, you know, let's calm down a little bit here. doesn't have to be the end.
And that was Stephen last week.
Yeah, that's right. I need to stop posting those. Listen, you know, obviously, I was thinking about this because, of course, I've been talking about Apple antitrust today. Is that why you've decided to do this? Because you're frightened that the US Department of Justice is going to come after you for being too Apple-centric?
I am terrified. The world has come to an end right here.
What's your take on this? What's your take on it? You know my thoughts, but what's yours?
You know, my first thought when I heard that this was coming down the pipe, I was thinking to my head, oh my gosh, are we going to have a DMA, kind of a antitrust that's going over in Europe? And it turns out to be, no, this is culturally different and something totally different. Americanized, I suppose. It's just, this is ridiculous. There's a lot of points in here that I disagree with, and biggest problem I have with it, a lot of it is just outdated information. So it just tells you we must have a terrible red tape of getting things done over here, because it took how many years just to be able to fight on something that occurred, what, 5 years ago? And things have changed. So we can break it down to different points if you want, but I think as overall, I think that when you hear the Apple lawyer saying, oh my gosh, we are going to beat the pants off them, that tells you something.
There's only one area of it that kind of stands out for me that seems to be the most, or one of the areas I think maybe deserves a little bit of investigation, although again, like you say, outdated information, right? This is what I was talking about earlier, that you know, you have a situation here where they're talking about things like the adoption of RCS for text messaging, which is coming in. They're bringing that in.
Exactly.
So the suggestion that, and also, I just want to say for a second here, that they almost suggested that what Beeper Mini was doing was a good thing, that it actually opened up iMessage to Android, for those people who remember that the Beeper story and Beeper Mini story. You know, but the way they were doing this was not as much nefarious, but not exactly within terms of service. You know, and that's being kind, right? So, you know, to suggest that's a good thing, to suggest that, you know, oh, well, you know, that's good because that was opening up the door and then Apple shut it, so bad on Apple. I don't know if I agree with that. And I didn't agree with it at the time.
You know, let me ask you this then. Is it okay for you to hack into a system, take over a portion of it and say, okay, it's now available? If you have to do various motives or hacking to get the encryption key to work with it rather than working with Apple, then I think it's a mistake. I think I don't condone people hacking and gaining encryption key that wasn't meant for that purpose. So I'm not saying that Beeper Me is a bad idea. I would love to see iMessage open up, but it will never open up. That's just how Apple is. But back to the topic of the DOJ suing Apple based on they having a monopoly on message, I was like, what do you mean we have a monopoly on message? Are you talking about iMessage? And so I was confused. But you're right. The RCS, the whole point of that was that it comes up with a open standard that everybody should use that will be able to have communication in a better manner. And I thought, that's a perfect solution. We got WhatsApp. We got other many different means. So WhatsApp is huge in the world. So I don't see where Apple falls into monopolizing. And I don't see in this point the iMessage needs to be opened up, because I feel that with the RCS and the WhatsApp, I think that is doable.
I hope so. I think it is important that we open up messaging platforms. I miss the days of Trillion, where you had ICQ, AOL, MSN, Messenger all in one place, and it didn't matter what you were using.
I like the idea of no matter where I am, people can contact me. I think that's why WhatsApp has done so well. WhatsApp is multi-platform, mainly accessible pretty much everywhere, I think, now. And, I've moved over to WhatsApp almost full time, especially since the audio messaging in iMessages is hard work, to say the least. So I actually look forward to it being opened up. Will it happen? I don't know. And yes, Apple have said it's going to go to RCS, but there's devil in that detail. Like the DMA in the App Store, you can be compliant, but you can also make it not worthwhile.
It is an old version they're running up, or will be running apparently. It's a 2019 version of RCS, which is actually part of the complaint, is that they're not adopting the latest standard, so it could actually cause more problems. Just to clarify something on the WhatsApp point, though, the suggestion within the DOJ complaint is that WhatsApp is being held back, limited. Users are not getting the full experience of WhatsApp. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? What are you talking about? There's absolutely no limitations on it. If the complaint is that you cannot access WhatsApp chats within iMessage, that's not a complaint as far as I'm concerned. That's a good thing. I'm okay with that. I don't want my iMessage app full of 800 different chats. I mean, look, I get your point, Sean. There are options, and there are apps out there which, by the way, will do all this. And this is kind of the point, isn't it? That the suggestion that there's no other way of doing things, it's just not true. Because there is lots of choice available inside that ecosystem. You don't have to use iMessage if you don't want to. You're not worse off for using WhatsApp on an iPhone versus an Android phone. I mean, the same argument surely applies to Google and Android as it does to Apple, if that's the case.
I would agree. I think it's a very difficult argument to have, because what is a monopoly? When does it become open season for everyone's IP, everyone's intellectual property? It's that there's work that's gone into making the ecosystems work as they do. And to open them up to competitors is, I never agreed with the browser choice. Internet Explorer, it's shipping with Windows. That's terrible. You got to choose. It made it a terrible experience for the end user. So it's all about the end user for me.
The one area I want to mention that I was a little bit more sympathetic to was Apple Pay. And for one simple reason. Now, whilst it's true, and again, this is outdated information, because the suggestion is that Apple are pushing people to use their digital wallet using Apple Pay and therefore discouraging others to move towards, say, NFC-based payments. That's not actually true anymore, because Apple are opening that up with Tap to Pay. You can use NFC, so other wallets are able to be used and will be able to be used in the future. It's just we're not quite there yet. We're a few months away from that being released. I almost feel like Tim Cook's going to come out and say, could you just let us announce iOS 18, please, and then we'll fix all this. But the thing is, the one difference between Google and Apple here is that Apple do charge a fee to banks to use this. That's the only difference. Google Pay and Samsung Pay do not require a fee from the bank. So we're not being hit by the fee, although arguably we might be, because the banks will be putting those fees somewhere towards us. But the point is that to use Apple Pay, there is a cost for the bank to do it. And Apple are making a lot of money off that, whereas Google and Samsung aren't. So that's the only area I can see a little bit of a chink of light in that discussion. But, in the sense of actually, shutting off other wallets, not making it possible for other wallets to be used, not using and utilizing NFC, I don't see that argument. I think, you could spend hours talking about this, and honestly, I feel we could, because there's just so much in this. I think the biggest question, though, Thomas, is what do you think this is going to do to Apple? I mean, we know what it's done to their stock price, but what is it going to do to Apple over the next few years? Because this is going to be a long-running conversation and certainly court case.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, think yesterday they lost, $140 billion in stock value. But, they're resilient. I don't think it's going to hit them too hard. Now, in terms of when would this be accomplished? Yeah, you're right. This is going to be not months. We're talking years. This is the same way and the same thing that happened with the DMA over EU. As a matter of fact, it's almost like Apple already had a run at it, and so they're just taking everything that what they've learned and told the EU and bringing it back here and say, hey, you know, it, they said they opened up the NFC, yes, but I believe one of those reasons was because of the EU. So thanks to the EU, is that they got answers and they're having to bend a few things. I agree with you on the NFC. I think it should be not just open, but open financially. So in other words, if your bank wants to have a card to use to pay for such and such, they should. I totally agree with that.
Especially with the security that it offers as well. I mean, I think that's the bit that people tend to, and again, this is not referenced in this case, but you know, the security that it offers, there's a sense, and I feel this, there's a sense of an argument of a lack of security is being brought in by not opening this up to more players. I honestly believe the opposite to be true. I mean, we've had this discussion about the EU argument, Sean. You know, opening up to third parties. We had this conversation, remember, with Pratik Patel?
Yep.
You know, I don't think it's a great idea, if I'm honest. I don't think this is a great course of action. I just don't know what the long-term impact is going to be here. It is something we're going to obviously discuss over the next few years, and we'll get into all the detail of it. It is very interesting. But I think there's one thing that I did. I was watching the news last night, and they were talking about this story. And it was interesting because the reporter referred to the Apple stores as almost places of worship. And I find that an interesting choice of words because I think there's some truth to that. And I think that in some ways there are people, and maybe I'm one of them, maybe we all are, but you know, I'm certainly probably more in that category of being one of those people who will jump to the defense, not blindly. I'm not going to blindly jump to defense, but I am going to defend a company, I think, if it's being wronged here. And I think this is the one difference between other companies and Apple, is they've got a strong fan base.
That also brings strong critics against it, because they're so strong based.
That's true, yeah. And hence where we're at.
Sometimes fanaticism can bring irrationalism, right? So sometimes...
No, it can.
I look at... you're absolutely right, Stephen. What was I thinking? I tell you what, though, Thomas, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the main thing this highlights to me, and this isn't just America, by the way, this is also in the EU and everywhere else,
and Australia.
It's just how inept government is when it comes to dealing with tech. I mean, it's just so far behind. You've only got to look at the TikTok ByteDance Senate hearings, for example. You know, does it use Wi-Fi? Well, it uses the internet. Yeah, but does it use Wi-Fi? There's just so much. You just don't know. How can you possibly legalize and regulate something where you're so far behind and don't really understand the technology behind it? It's I don't know the answer to that one.
It's tough because it's a government. And you know as well as I do, government is just slow. They cannot move fast enough that technology is moving. And I think that's the key issue with that. I think Apple's going to be fine here. I really do as a whole. And I think the government is going to find more of a red face when this is all said and done. But in saying that, I think it's okay. And kind of touch on what Stephen was saying earlier is that there's a reason why people buy iPhone. Why? We know it's secured, it's privacy, we have reliability. Not saying that Android isn't, but iPhone is just known to do that. It's just as is. And if you don't like that, there's options. There's Samsung, there's Pixel. Yes, they have the Android OS, but they're different version and flavor. So I don't get it because the whole planet, with the iPhone is what, maybe 30-40%? So it's not even like if it was 80-90% like Microsoft is.
Well, those stats are interesting. So when the DOJ brought the lawsuit against Microsoft, Microsoft had about 95% market share in the States.
Whoa.
Today, Apple has about 55% share in the US. And I find that interesting to consider that a monopoly at 55%. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's beyond that, and I get that. It's not specifically around the number of iPhones that are out there. That's not what the case is here. But I think it is interesting that that is where we're at in terms of numbers. I also think it's kind of worrying that a country which talks about capitalism and the desire to build, to invent, to create, to dream the impossible dream, etc., is coming up with this. I find it strange. And it does lead me to my final question, Thomas. Would this be resolved if Trump took office this year? Or next year it will be?
Throw that under.
Let's be honest. I mean, you know, there's an election coming up. I know we might want to pretend it's not, but...
A grenade into the room.
Oh, my gosh.
Answer that, Thomas.
You've got 60 seconds to answer that.
All right. Now, with political biases and thoughts out of the way, trying to be neutral on this, you know, Trump has a way with things. So I do wonder if he says this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. That's a good question. I don't know.
Think he would let this continue, do you? This doesn't seem like the kind of thing he would do.
Wow.
I don't know. Boy. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
And on that note, thank you so much for joining us, Thomas. I'm saving in here. Stephen, you'll get blacklisted again.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be off AMI as well.
That's a tough question.
It's got you thinking, though, right? It's got you thinking about it.
I take the fifth.
It's going to be an interesting one, but we'll see. I'm sure it will come up. I'm sure it will come up in the political debates. Thomas, this is a topic I'm sure that will no doubt rear its head on AppleViz as well, because everyone's talking about it. The website is incredible. I think what you're doing is amazing. I think this is such a smart move, and I look forward to contributing more to it and learning as I continue to do from it as well. So thanks so much again for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. Love you guys. Keep up the great job, and now I got to go off and ban Stephen Scott.
That's okay. Nice, isn't it? I say all these nice things, and that's the response. Oh, well.
Thanks, Thomas.
Off to Android it is, then.
You betcha.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bye-bye.
And there we go. Some updates to AppleViz to get excited about. You can tell us your thoughts on that. Feedback at doubletaponair.com. You can, of course, email us and call and leave us a voicemail on 1-877-803-4567. We're on social media as well. Check us out on Mastodon at Double Tap and on X at Double Tap on Air. Ooh. And...
Well done, you said X.
I love that you said it's a surprise.
I am surprised.
Oh, I see, right.
Well done, you.
I thought you just realised we had a Twitter account. And also, you can find, or an X account, I should say, there you go. And also, we're on YouTube, Double Tap Video. So basically, wherever you go, just search for Double Tap. And we'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to be talking about CSUN with Michael Babcock, right, wrapping up the week that was. Michael was there in person. We'll find out if you met Stevie Wonder, because that's all anyone seems to be interested in when you go to see Sun. So, yeah, we'll talk about all that and a robot dog that I cannot wait to share the news with you about on Double Tap tomorrow. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Red Sail, inviting you to download the latest episode of My Life in Books, where internationally acclaimed authors discuss their lives, their work, and three books that have resonated with them. That's My Life in Books, available wherever you get your AMI podcasts.